Okay. All right, Chaver. So we were discussing yesterday three possible scenarios that the Gemara discusses of a person who's squatting in someone else's house. The first is if the person would have rented another apartment, Zenene, there is a financial benefit for him by squatting in someone else's apartment. And it's Zechaser, this person was the landlord was looking for a tenant who he was going to charge. Clearly, then he has to pay. If it's Zenene, Zelonene, if it's Zelokaser, what does that mean? Of course, he's benefiting, but it's not a financial benefit because he never would have, he's a moocher by nature, never would have rented another apartment. And this landlord is not really looking for a tenant. He's not a landlord even. It's a person who has a spare house. And this guy squats there, so then he doesn't have to pay rent because he didn't benefit a financial benefit. He didn't deprive the landlord of any potential profit either. The Gemara has a suffix about Zenene. This one was looking for a place to rent, and therefore it saved him money by squatting. But Zelokaser, this person had an empty house that he wasn't planning on renting out. So he benefited financially, and the landlord did not lose out. That's the shah of the Gemara. Does he have to pay or not? Tosis brings up the other fourth possibility. It's not discussed by the Gemara, which is Zelonene. This person was never going to pay as a moocher. But Zechaser, this guy was looking for a place to, you know, a landlord was looking for a tenant. And since this guy's living there, he's for, you know, inevitably discouraging other people from renting this property. So Tosis says there also he would clearly not have to pay. And Tosis says, even though this guy loses out money, it's Grumma ben Ezekin. He's causing him to lose, but he himself is not causing the loss directly. You know, it's indirect, because since he's living there, no one else is inquiring about the apartment, but he's not damaging the guy's property, per se. So Tosis considers that that's not the operative reason why you have to pay. You know, it's not because of Zechaser. The real reason you have to pay, even when it's Zenene, is because, and Zechaser, it's not because of the Zechaser. The Zechaser here is, this guy and the other people are not going to rent this place because you're living there. That's all tangential. That's all indirect. That's not the reason why you have to pay. So therefore, if it's Zelonene, even if it's Zechaser, says Tosis, you don't have to pay. That's Grumma ben Ezekin your potter. Tosis compares it to someone who locks someone else in a room and they're not able to go to work. So Tosis says, of course, you wouldn't have to pay. That was indirect causation, and therefore, it's Grumma ben Ezekin be potter. So the Pnei Lo Shua just distills further what Tosis is saying. What he says, what really Tosis means then is, even in the case where we all agree that you have to pay, which is, this guy is looking for an apartment to rent, and therefore by squatting he benefits a financial, you know, financially, and that he doesn't have to pay rent, and this guy was looking for a tenant, and now because you're living there, he's going to lose financially because no tenant will arrive. The real reason you have to pay is because of the Zenene, not because of the Zechaser. The Zechaser is causative. It's indirect. That's not why you have to pay. Why do you have to pay? It's because of the Zenene. Why do you have to pay? Because of Zenene, because I benefited financially. So the answer seems to be because when you benefit financially from someone else's property, the Torah imposes an obligation to pay for that benefit. If you benefit from the money of somebody else. And we saw that yesterday, as Reb Chaim proved that principle called Mashenenis, which the Mishnah discusses over here. If you're an animal, even in the Rishus HaRabim, where he's pater from Hezek, but eats the produce of somebody else, you have to pay Mishalemis Mashenenis. You can pay the cheapest version of it, Dmei Se'orim Bezol, but you do have to pay for that which you benefited, and that is an obligation. It's not the Chiv of Nezikin. We saw the Rashba said you only pay Beinonis, not like Nezikin, which is Mina Idis, but this is an obligation that's imposed by the Torah to pay back that which you benefited. That's why we saw yesterday that Gemara says if a person eats something that belongs to somebody else, at the same time that he's violating an Iser in the Torah for which he's chayv misa b'dei shamayim, we would say kimlei b'derabaminei. How can you say kimlei b'derabaminei? He would get misa and he would be putter from paying. How can you say you're putter from paying? If I sign loan documents, we said yesterday on Shabbos, so just because I'm chayv melecha Shabbos when I sign the loan documents doesn't mean I don't have to pay back the loan. I obligated myself to pay. It's not a punishment that's imposed by the Torah. It must be here, said Reb Chaim, that the obligation to pay Mashenenis is a chiyuv that is imposed by the Torah, and that's why you have to pay by Zenene v'Zechaser. You have to pay not because of the Zechaser. That's indirect that you caused him to lose the potential tenants. It's because of the Zenene. You benefited from the money of somebody else. You got to pay him back. Another place where perhaps we see this is an obligation that's imposed by the Torah. When you benefit from somebody else's property or their actions, you have to pay them. It's from an interesting comment of the Meiri. Look over here. Turn to the Gemara. And the Gemara later on. Daf Ayin Amud Beis. Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. I'm sorry. The Gemara says in Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. Zion of the base. Oh, Ayin Mabez. I thought it was Ayin Mabez. Ayin Mabez. A few lines on the bottom. Where are we? Five lines from the bottom. You might quote a statement from Rami Bar Chama. Esnoin. Esnan. Asra. Tayyar Vafil Baal Imo. What is an Esnan? Chever, anybody know? Hopefully not. Esnan is a payment that's made to a Zoyna. Right? Esnan Asra Tayyar. But it's also a Pesach in Parashas Kisete. Esnan Zoyna Lo Savi. One person is not allowed to bring a carbon from Esnan Zaina. Someone told me, I think he's a rabbi, I don't want to say where, in a city where you wouldn't be surprised to get this shayla, about a, this literally happened. It was such a individual in the community who had such a reputation, and they made a donation to the shul. Can you accept? I think they wanted to donate the Omer or the Parechas or something. But obviously the funds, you know, her whole support came from this kind of endeavor. So there might even be states where this is permitted. So is this legal? Well, can we accept these kinds of donations to the Beis HaKnesses? Might have the status of the Beis HaMikdash, and a carbon is not allowed to be brought from Esnan Zoyna. Such a thing is distasteful, certainly. The Torah even describes the Toyeva. So we can't allow these kinds of things to be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, even Esnan Asra Torah, Afilu Baal Imo, even if it's not a random woman, it's Gili Arayas, for which he's Chayev Misa, the payment that is made in lieu of that service is prohibited. Afilu ba'alimo, even if it's Gili Arayas, for which he's Chayv Misa, nonetheless, the payment is prohibited to be brought as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, some other donation to a shul. So writes the Meiri over here, Oisalef, Mikan lam duksas mefarshim bazeh, Shamanu ein adam meisu mishalem shebedine shamayim mikomokom chayv. You see from here, one minute, how could he be obligated to pay? How could he be obligated to pay Esnan Zaina if he's at the same time chayev misa? Misa's bezdin for Gili Arayas, Baal Imo. So how could he be obligated to pay for the services rendered? But he's chayev misa kimlei b'derabimine. So Meiri calls some Rishayim who derive from here. You see, even when you apply Kimab Deramine, there is a chiyuv still to pay at least Lotzeis Yedei Shamayim. And therefore, the payment that's made is labeled as Esnan Zaina. It relates to the services. Mikomakom Chayiv Shem Lo Kein. If you're not going to say he's obligated to pay at least on some level, Ein Zeh Esnan Alma Tana Ba'alma. This is just a present that he gave to his mother. But this would not be in lieu of any kind of services, because he would be Chayiv Misa due to the relations. So of course, the payment would be excluded. He wouldn't be obligated to pay. He's exempt from that since he's put to death. So why is the payment even relate to the services anymore? Must be your chayv lotzei sidei shamayim. The Meiri disagrees, and he says something we already said. The Meiri says, what are you talking about? Esnan Zaina is a deal that is made between the client and the Zaina. What does that have to do with Kimlei b'derabimine? That's no different than a person who signs loan documents on Shabbos, for which he's Chayav Misa, you still have to pay back the loan. We don't say Kimlei b'derabimine with regards to an agreement that you make to pay back money. So says Meiri, Chachmei Tzarfat Mechalashim Bezu Shita Cheres Lo Amar Sha'av Beiz Mechayav and Litin Esnan. No, here you're obligated to pay me Dina. The only time we apply Kimlei b'derabimine, but davar haba derech nezikim, something that the Torah obligates you to pay. You did a business deal on Shabbos, you still have to follow through. Okay, of course you have to pay. You're obligated to pay. What does one have to do with the other? Okay, the Meiri makes a compelling argument, but what do the other Rishonim hold? The other Rishonim held, we do apply Kimlei b'derabimine, and they derive from here that even when you say Kimlei b'derabimine, to exempt yourself from a monetary obligation, you have to pay Lotzeis Yedei Shamayim. How could they even apply Kimlei b'derabimine here? Everyone should agree that if I make a business deal on Shabbos, I still have to follow through with the business deal. If you took payment, because one has nothing to do with the other. What does a Chiyuv Misa have to do with the deal I make? Kimlei b'derabimine is only things that are imposed by the Torah. So if Shechter says, in a Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, you see from this comment, the first opinion of the Meiri must be that when you benefit from somebody else, you have an obligation to pay me in our Torah, and it's imposed by the Torah. If you benefit from the items of somebody else, you must pay. It's a din midrash imposed by the Torah, and that's why the other Rishonim applied Kimlei b'derabimine. This is a chiyuv of mashananis. Your animal eats someone else's property, the Rosh Hashanah, even though there's no chiyuv nizikin, you got to pay what you benefited. And that's imposed by the Torah. And that's why we say kimah b'dramin. A guy who has a chaylev put all the way back in the back of his throat, and he's forced to swallow it, he still has to pay the value of that which he ate. And we'd apply he does not have to pay the value of that which he ate, because that's a chiyuv that's imposed by the Torah. We would say kim lebe de raminei. Another source for this principle, this is where it really comes from, is the Gemara in Sefer Bo Metzir, which we're going to have to analyze as we go on in this sugya. So the Gemara says over here in Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph, have a very important Gemara. The Gemara, but it's surprising. The Gemara says, I go down into your field and I plant your field. You have an empty field. Why? I don't know. And I plant it for you, and then I send you a bill. The Jewish magazines used to do that. They used to send it for free. You're like, oh, why are they sending this to me? And then you get a bill. Now you know why. That's how you drum up business. Easy way for a newspaper to drum up business. Just start delivering it and then send the bill. Rav Shechter likes to say that there was a journal called, I don't want to say what it was called, but there was a journal that was published in Flatbush. So they used to give it to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Shechter said they used to give it to everybody. So they went to Rabbi Yaakov. They sent him a subscription, a bill. So Rabbi Yaakov said, I don't receive your magazine. They said, no, you do. We send it to you every week. He said, I threw it out. They said, how can you throw it out? It's Seamus. He said, I never opened it. I just took it. I never bought it. So I took it and threw it in the garbage. So he said, I'm not paying you for it. So then the magazine said, if you don't pay us, we're gonna say negative things about you in the next edition. He said, I don't care what you say about me. So it's true that in the next edition, it says there's a certain Rav Yud Kuf from Muncie, who has a yeshiva in Flatbush, who did X, Y, and yeah. Anyway, okay. So let's say a guy does that. He sends you something. A guy comes to your field, plants the field. Can you charge him now? Says the Gemara, yes. Yes. Amarav, shaman lova yodol al tachtoina. You can charge him, but he gets the least of the two possible bills, either your expenses or what it would sell for in the open market, the benefit that he caused you. But you got to pay him. He gets the lesser of the two. Shmuel Amar, I'm going to come out of the merit to lead him to the zoo. No, you check how much would a contractor charge you to plant this field. And that's what you have to pay him. As long as it's a field that's fit to be planted. So you have to pay him. Why do I have to pay you? I didn't ask you to do this. The answer is when you benefit from the work of somebody else, you have to pay. It's an obligation to pay. Even if you didn't contract for that in the beginning. If there's an umdina, if there's a, this was a golf course, and a guy comes and he plants it with cherry tomatoes, then you ruined my golf course. You're a mazik. That's a hezek. But if it's an empty field, which he now plants, you have to pay him for that which he benefited you, even though you didn't ask him to do it. That's an obligation that's imposed by the Torah, masha nenis. That which you benefited, you have to pay for. Similarly, the Rama quotes this twice in two places in Chayshim Mishpat. Look at the Rama over here. Ois Gimel v'chein kol adam shoyzim chaveru puula otova. Person does for you something nice. Lo yuchal lomar bechinam asisim madi hovlo tzivisicha. You can't say I had no plans on paying you because I didn't ask you to do this. I will tzarach li ten lo scharo. He did it for you. You have to pay him even though you didn't contract an amount at the very beginning. Because you benefited, you have to pay mashanenis. This is a chiyuv that is imposed by the Torah. What's the source? Good question. But okay, but this seems to be a chiyuv that's imposed by the Torah. Yeah.
According to the Ramah, how do we define benefit?
Benefit.
How do we say nice? Meaning
No, a monetary benefit. Oh, so it's something you would have paid somebody money for.
But if it's something that, he gave him a present that, he maybe wasn't so keen on or didn't, care for him per se.
No, nothing. It has to be something that you benefited and you're happy about. But
can't you say that, it's something that, he benefited from? That's not something that he necessarily would go out and buy, but the fact he got it as a present is something, he's happy about that he can benefit from.
Yeah.
So then would that fall under this category?
Yeah. So therefore, there are more rights over here. Ois Dalit. Most people don't know this. But the Rama says, it depends on the community. Some communities know this very well. But the Rama says, Hashadchan Havikamo Sarsur. Hashadchan is like a deal broker. Any guy who's in the business world who brokers a deal gets a cut. I don't know what the fee typically is, but you get a cut, a percentage of the deal. That's called a Sarsur. Here's a Shulchan Aruch, such a thing. So a shadchan, how do you come a sarsur? We usually call a sarsur a deal maker, a shadchan. That's what we're doing. It's really the other way around. The shadchan is a sarsur. If a shadchan wrote to she, shamalo miyad schar shadchanis, you have to pay. You have to pay schar shadchanis. Some people want it right away. The Ramah discusses, do you have to pay right away or only when the shidduch actually is completed? You know, at the time of the nisuin. Some people say they used to pay at the time of the tanoim, but in the olden days, the tanoim were at the time of the engagement, and it was real. There was financial obligations that were contracted at the time of the tanoim. In chassidish circles, they still do that. Our tanoim are basically meaningless. It basically says, we both agree to go through with the wedding, but we don't say what happens if we don't. Ramosha defanged the Tanoim. We all use the Nusach of Ramosha. Before the Nusach of Ramosha, all the Tanoim would have consequences. If you didn't go through, you would pay for the caterer, and there might usually was a penalty involved, like breaking engagement penalty. And there was curses for those who broke the engagement. That's why the Vilna Gaon was quoted as saying, better just to go through with the wedding than to break a Tanoim. So that's why Ramosha removed all this language from the Tanoim. It was too heavy for us to deal with. So our tanoim are basically meaningless. But in Chassidic circles, it's still tanoim are very important. They usually sit down, they drink a lechaim. It's a very serious thing. It's a big financial obligation. Anyway, so some had the shadchanis by the tanoim because no one was backing out at that point. Some had the shadchanis by the nisuin. Piskei Tshuva even discusses what if there's more than one shadchan, what they call a maschio or a negoimer. Who gets the shadchanis? You were laughing. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, January, we sat in Rav Asher Weiss's Beis Din for 2 days. Fascinating. In every way. So one of the Dinei Torah, which was the most entertaining, was Tusha. There was no one knows what it was, but there was a wealthy foreigner who had married an American, Baras Tshuva, in Israel, with a large age differential. And this was, of course, complicated shidduch. I don't think he spoke English. So and she was like a Midwestern American woman. Anyway, shadchan here, I guess, gets a lot of credit. But he obviously was a man of means, and the shadchanim had contracted, I think, $10,000 shadchanis. But the first shadchan, she didn't like, the one who suggested it. So they contracted a different shadchan because she didn't like the first one. She was too pushy. So then there was a second shadchan. So then the second shadchan, you know, then the engagement, the relationship broke off, and then they got back together on their own. They reconciled without the intermediary of the shadchan. And everyone here wanted the money, and they didn't want to pay. The first one wanted the shadchanis. I arranged the shidduch. The second one said, I agree, she's the maskil, but I'm the gomer, or the emtsoi. And they said, no, we got together back together without you. I mean, you couldn't imagine what was going on, but they're talking about big bucks, $10,000. And then there was a shot, maybe they have to pay both $10,000 or whatever. And then there was contracts and understandings and stuff written on napkins or functions. I mean, there was evidence presented. I mean, you couldn't imagine what was going on over there. And it's this big business here. There's a shadchan, there's a maskil, an emtsoi, the guy who really gets it through, and then the gomer, the closer, an opener, a closer, a long reliever. But you have the whole thing over here. Fine, but this is really discussed by the Piskei Tshuva. Who gets what? Some said the 2/3 goes to the maskil. Some said we split it evenly. Okay. Heavy shadchanis. You have to pay. Do you have to pay? Is this like some... No, yeah, it's quoted here by the Ramah. Why do I have to pay? Maybe we didn't discuss monetary things at the very beginning. In America, we have a custom. It's like a chesed that we do. And it's a wonderful chesed. And it should be a schus, you know, all the different schoolers that go along with it. And you can't get married. You know, they say, this is they say from the Imre Yemes, famous for it. Why did Avram Avinu send Eliezer to make the shidduch with Rivka and Yitzchak? Why didn't he go himself? It's his own son, after all. He couldn't take time off from whatever he was doing to arrange a shidduch for his own son. He was too busy. He sent the butler. Why didn't he go himself? So the Imre Yemes says, to teach us, the Torah is the first shidduch that's made on the pages of the Chumash, other than other Mechava, to teach us that shidduchim can only be made with the help of others. You shouldn't be embarrassed that you need the help of others. Shidduchim can't be made by the parents themselves. You have to enlist the help of others. Fine, good. Shidduchim, we need the help of others. It says here in the Ramah, we do it typically as a chesed here in America. There are those who make a big business out of it, though, obviously, in our world as well. And this is already mentioned by the Ramah, that you have to pay. Why do I have to pay? We didn't even discuss money at the very beginning. The answer is, when someone performs a service for you, you benefit from their money. the Bir Agro explains over here in the Chayish Mishpat as well, you have to pay Mashan Enes. You have to pay what you benefited. And that's a chiyuv that's imposed by the Torah based on whatever the Minhag Medina is to pay Shiduch, you know, for Shachar. You have to pay even if it wasn't discussed. Yeah.
Would we say that if you don't pay, then it would be like Gneva?
Yeah, or? Absolutely. It's like not paying your worker. Yeah, absolutely. And again, in our community, it's not typically, but there are those who charge. I don't think there's any secret about that. But private people usually do it as a chesed, but give a nice gift, but no one would, I've never seen, you know, someone send a bill in our world, but there are places they would.
Gift, like, would a nice gift also be, like, considered?
It's a nice idea.
Form of payment?
Yeah. Shava kesef ke kesef, but by some shadchanim, I don't think that will fly. There's some shadchanim who make it. If there are clearly people who do this professionally, in which case you have to pay. That's already quoted here by the Rama. Okay, so according to Tosis, this is the obligation to pay of a person who dwells in someone else's apartment, even though they didn't arrange anything beforehand. You have to pay. If it's Zenene, you're looking for a place to rent. This guy's looking for a tenant, and you squat in his apartment, you have to pay, not because of the Zech Chaser, says Tysus. The Zech Chaser is a grandma, it was a tangential, was indirect, that I caused him not to be able to get another tenant because I'm living there. What do you have to pay for? You have to pay for the Zech Mashanenis. You have to pay because you benefit from the money of somebody else, and therefore the Torah imposes an obligation to pay. The real question, though, is, if that's the case, that you have to pay because of Mashanenis, so then what is the suffix of the Gemara? Zeh Neneh V'Zelo Chaser. This guy benefits, and this guy doesn't lose. I'm looking for a place to rent. He's not looking for a tenant. It's an extra apartment that he's holding on to for some other reason. And I squat there. He didn't lose anything. He wasn't looking for a tenant. The Gemara's not sure if you have to pay. According to Tysus, for sure you should have to pay. It's Zenene. That's the question the Pnei Yoshua asked on Tysus. He distills. According to Tysus, you're not obligated to pay because of the Zechaser. You're obligated to pay because of the Zenene. If it's because of the Zenene, so then by Zenene, by Zelo Chaser, of course you should be obligated to pay. So that's what the Pnei Yoshua tries to figure out according to Tosfos. And many suggest the following, is that it's because if it's considered to be Zelo Chaser, then it's not as if you benefited from the money of your friend. How can you call it, Rav Shimon Shkop explains like this, how can you call benefiting from the money of my friend? If I benefit from your money, if I benefit from your services, the Torah imposes an obligation to pay. We even said, you say, Kim Weber, the Rav Mine on these kinds of obligations. Even if we didn't discuss it beforehand, I have to pay you, the Torah imposes an obligation. But that's only if it's Zech Chaser. If there's no Zech Chaser, that's not considered to be benefiting from the property of your friend. That's like benefiting from Hefker. It's like I benefited from nobody. Because you didn't lose. So that's the shayla of the Gemara. Is that considered to be benefiting from him at all if he didn't lose anything? Maybe you can only call it benefiting from somebody else if he at least lost something. Okay, cover. But that's Shitas HaTosfos. Tosfos holds what is the operative principle, component here, which triggers the monetary payment, is the Zenene. If you were looking for a place to live and you were willing to pay and now all of a sudden you're squatting in this guy's apartment, you have to pay if you benefited from the money of your friend. The only shaila is if this guy doesn't lose out, is that called benefiting from the money of your friend? And Tosfos proves this from the fact that he believes if it's Zelonenev, it's Zechaser, you weren't going to rent, you're a moocher. And this guy's looking for a tenant, but because you're living there, he loses out. Tosfos says, of course you don't have to pay. Even though he loses, since you don't benefit, a monetary benefit, you were never going to pay rent anyway. You don't have to pay. It must be the Zech Chaser is not enough to cause a monetary payment. However, Chaver, look over here in the Rosh. I say, the Rosh disagrees, or at least quotes the Rif who disagrees. Says the Rosh over here, I say, Perish Ri. The one possible permutation that's not discussed by the Gemara. And that is a property that's for rent. But I was never going to pay rent. It's vacant and I live there. So, but then the real estate agent comes and she sees somebody there. So no one else is going to take the apartment because they see a squatter there. So came the Ronana, since even though you didn't benefit a monetary benefit, but you caused a loss to your friend, even if I kick you out of your house and lock your door, if I pull a fire alarm, I said, we gave the example yesterday, and therefore you're not able to do business, Says Taisus, you would not have to pay. That's grandma. I didn't cause you a loss. You know, it was indirect. However, then the Rosh quotes the Riv. If it's a field that you're looking, you know, an apartment you're looking to rent, you do have to pay, even though you were not looking for a place to rent. You would never have paid. So you didn't derive a financial benefit. That's not what triggers your obligation to pay a loan. It's also because you caused a loss to your friend. So even though you didn't benefit, if he lost, you got to pay. Even though you were not looking for a place to rent, you made him lose. The Rosh disagrees. He holds like Tysus, but that's the opinion of the Riff. So he continues, even though the loss is considered to just be a grama, if you want to say like the Riff, what you have to explain is, even though I didn't benefit a monetary benefit, in the end of the day, I am eating what he is losing. It's not the same as locking a guy out of his house, because then you lost, but I didn't benefit. Here I benefited. Even though it's not a monetary, financial benefit, I did benefit. If I don't benefit anything, that's grama. Even though you didn't benefit financially, I could have squatted somewhere else. You are eating what he is losing, and therefore you are mazik. Kaver, you hear the riff? I think the riff makes a lot of sense. I caused you not to be able to get a tenant. So you have to pay. If I put occupied, you know, I know this apartment's vacant and I don't want you, my next door neighbor, to rent it out. I finally need some peace and quiet. So every time a real estate agent shows up, I scare them away. You know, so then, as I put cockroaches outside and mice outside or whatever, you know, nasty. So, okay, so then, it's not nice, clearly, of course. But that's a grama ben azikin. But here, not only did I cause you a loss, I benefited, even though it's not a financial benefit because I would have found somewhere else to squat for free, but I'm eating what you are losing. That's a mazik. Similarly, he continues the Mukhe Yosef over here, and he quotes like that from many other Rishonim. Look over here, Oizvav, because it says, Kasvu Abali Atayis at the end of the first line, Shazeb Pasu Chupata. Of course, if he loses and you didn't benefit, the Kishimavat or Kizil Shal Chavero. It's no different than locking up somebody else and not allowing them to leave. That's indirect. That's not direct. The laws that follows. If you are a mazik, it's not the same as scaring other people away. I'm eating what you are losing. Teda, she'ilu ocho adam peros chavero chayv afo pishlo nene klau. If I eat your, let's say I smash into your car, I throw away your stuff, I hate you, so I take your lawn, lawn chairs, and I throw them in the trash while you're not looking. Of course I have to pay, that's a mazik. Even though I didn't benefit at all, still have to pay. If let's say I just put a padlock on your apartment and no one else could get in, of course you'd be potter. But here you did benefit, so therefore you're chai.
V'chein kosev haritva. Yeah. I mean, for like the padlock case, can't we say that's like direct?
How?
Just because the case that it would be my grandma is that you put it on and that, you know, didn't enable the door to open and like that's closed. That's my grandma. But you essentially made sure no one can get in.
I caused you a loss. That's causative. But I didn't damage you. I caused you not to be able to get money.
Right.
But I didn't damage you.
Okay.
Did I? What would I damage of yours?
But like nothing. You're like
you put up an open house sign and I turn it around. So instead of going this way, they go that way. I didn't damage you. I turned your sign around. No one's going to come to your way, or, you know. I put radiation, you know, signs on your next to your apartment. You know, so I didn't do anything to you. I just put up radiation signs. I've never thought about doing any of these things.
No,
just coming up with a random example. Yeah, okay. But then the Rama says something fascinating. V'chein kasav Rama. Look over here, three lines from the bottom. D'kishadar b'chayiv. He says, if you live there, you're obligated to pay. You made him lose, even though you didn't benefit a financial benefit, but you're living there. The Gemara says later on, the Gemara says, this very case, I lock you up, put you in jail, and you're not able to go to work on the day of the IPO. So you lose. Says the Gemara, Pehem Abayz, right above the two dots back in the middle of the Yomud, Dahadke, Beindrona, Ubatla. That's, the Gemara says you have to pay Sheves. I have to pay the lost wages of what you would have had. You have to pay if I lock you up. So too, says the Rama. Tosis' example, which he brings as a proof that you don't have to pay because of the lost, you know, rental income, is wrong. I do have to pay you. If I put a padlock in your apartment, I do have to pay. What do I have to pay? Sheves. I deprived you of that rental income. No different than locking your friend up and he's not able to go to work. That's sheves. Lost wages is one of the five payments you make if you damage your friend. Nezek Tsar, Ripoy, Shevis, and Boishes. Shevis has lost wages. Here, I have to pay for your lost wages. That's the Rama.
So how does that translate? So in our case, you just say that, like, for all the days he was squatting in the house where there could have been a potential, you know, like, even indirect tax.
Tosis' example, where he proves the point that it's Grom ben Ezekin, says the Rama is wrong. You do have to pay.
You just have to pay Boishes.
Yeah. What you could argue, and this is what the Ksois argues on this Rama, the Ksois over here, or his Ches, quotes this Rama, and he says, but this doesn't make any sense. How can you compare a guy who takes his friend and locks him up, that he has to pay Sheves, that's Nizke Adam Ba'Adam, to a person who puts a padlock on someone else's apartment? One of the Chiyuv, you know, to pay Sheves is part of Niske Adabadam. If I damage somebody else, I hit him with a baseball bat. So then I have to pay Nezek, Tsar, Ripoy, Sheves, Boishes, will be medical bills, you know, how much you lost value you have, the pain that's involved. And one of those payments I have to make is lost wages. But let's say my shor hits your car. My ox pops your tires. Can you charge me for Sheves? Lost wages? Lost wages? It's an obligation between two parties, individuals, not between property that causes damage, or damaging someone else's property. You can't charge Sheves. Sheves is if I damage you on a personal level. Says Ksois, V'tomani al'atzmi, v'rayezu, d'hasam adam ba'adam. When does the Torah impose a chiv of Sheves, rak shivto yitain v'rapo yirapay, is when I damage you personally. The Torah never obligated me in Sheves and Tsar for damaging your cow, your dog. There's no Tsar in Sheves, because you have to take your dog now to the veterinarian. No such thing. Sheves is if I damage you on a personal level. Here I locked your apartment. I deprived you of rental income. That's cause, that's indirect. Don't tell me Sheves. What's Sheves? Sheves is if I locked you up. What's it to do with preventing you from earning revenue? Yeah.
Then can you say to that, what if that's his main source of income?
But it's only by Nizkei Adam.
But then, like, he's still losing out on Sheves, though.
Yeah.
And so, like, then, like.
So what you have to say is, and this is where Rav Shmuel Rezavsky writes over here, Simen Yud Ches Oizai, Nekadush Rav Shmuel. Obviously, the Rama has a different definition of Sheves than everybody else. The traditional interpretation of Sheves is, I prevent you from going to work. I disabled you. Therefore, you're not able to work. But that would only be if I damage you on a personal level. According to the Rama, Sheves means lost profits, lost wages, lost income. Nothing to do with the fact that I prevented you from going to work or I damaged you and you're not able to go to work. I don't even have to touch you. If I prevent you from earning an income, already I'm obligated in Sheves. I've affected you, which is a very broad definition of the Sheves. So look over here, says Rav Shmuel, in Kenya, Shlomo, the Ramah, Be'emes Nechaka, O Rosh Bezev, is fear away. The Gamim, Yashav, Kvar, Kodam, Bechedim, and all, Chayv, Midin, Sheves. You're sitting in a room, I lock you in, you're Chayv for Sheves. The Skiras, Hacheder, Havimaisa, Hezek, that's considered to be damaging you, Kevin, Shebazez, Shoel, Mimenuas, Efsharus, Hasia. I'm preventing you from going to work. Va'av she'ein zemais to begufo. I didn't even touch you. Mikomokom chashiv mazik biyadayim. Ki heichi de bezrika scheitz chashiv mazik mishazrika. Just like as if I shot you with an arrow, I locked you in a room, that's also considered to be a mazik mamish. Okay? So he says, Aleinu lahaktim yeshlach kobeikach yuvah deshevetim hudavka vitom amalaka odushayach hakomini yasrevach. Not that only that I prevented you from working. That would be I had to damage you. I didn't prevent you from working. I prevented you from earning a profit. From withheld earnings. Because I locked you in a room. So even though I didn't disable you in any way. But rendered you incapable of working. That's how most traditionally we define shevets. You're incapable of working. Here I made you unable to work because of some even tangential reason. That's considered to be mazik, and you'd have to pay Sheves. That's obviously the Ramah's perspective on Sheves, which is unusual. Most would interpret that it's limited to personal injury. Here, it's even if it's not personal injury, I prevented you from working in any way, that's already a Maisa Hezek, and you'd be obligated to pay Sheves. All right. That's the unique position of the Ramah. However, the Rif, the Rush, their opinion was, you're not obligated in Sheves. Sheves is if I damage you. But if I benefit at your loss, so then I have to pay, even if it would be Groma Benezikin, you know, if I wouldn't have benefited, once I benefit, I have to pay because of your loss. But it's even therefore, even if I didn't benefit a financial benefit, I wouldn't have paid for this service. But you lost, your loss automatically triggers me that I have to pay. So according to Tysus over here, the primary obligation of Zenene v'zeh chaser is because of the Zenene. Joseph, it's ain't no chaser, we're not sure that that's called benefiting from you at all because you didn't lose anything. But anytime you benefit a monetary benefit, it saves you financially from having to pay money, so then you have to pay. And that's a chiyuv that's imposed by the Torah. According to the Rif, Rosh, the real chiyuv of Zenen, of Zeh Chaser, where I benefit and you lost, is a you lost. If I didn't benefit at all, you know, so then I might not have to pay because it's grandma, but if I did, I'm eating what you lost, even if I didn't benefit a financial benefit, we wouldn't say Mashanenis. I never would have paid for this in the first place. But I'm eating what you lost, your loss all of a sudden becomes real and I have to pay for it. So, Chaver, what do you say about the following case? What do you say about the following case? It's an important difference between the two. I live in your apartment. Yeah. You weren't looking for a tenant, so I didn't deprive you of any rental income. I was looking for a place to rent. So Zenene, Zelo Chaser. But as anybody who owns an apartment or a house or knows, who's lived in a house, there's always wear and tear. So there's blackening of the walls, the Gemara calls it. We're going to get to it on the Amud Beis. Yeah, the wall, you know, the scratches here, there. Fine, now it is Zeh Chaser. How much do I have to pay? Zenen of Zeh Chaser. Do I only have to pay the amount of the Chaser? Or do I have to pay the amount of the Nene? Meaning when we said Zenen of Zeh Chaser, you have to pay. How much are you paying? Are you paying the Zeh Chaser? Let's say the guy's not looking for rent, but I blackened his wall, so now it's Zeh Chaser, the Gemara says. He wasn't looking for rent, but he doesn't want his place to have wear and tear. So do I have to pay the value of the wear and tear? Or do I have to pay the value of the rent I would have paid for such an apartment? If it would have been for rent. So the Mashal is an empty apartment in a neighborhood. I don't know what the standard rent here is. 1,700, 1,800, around there, 2,000. But it's empty. I don't know. Someone's holding it. So I squat there. And the walls get blackened. So he lost a little bit. Do I have to pay $2,000? Now that I have to pay Zenan of Zachasea, do I have to pay you for the wear and tear? You weren't looking to rent it anyway. So that might depend on these two perspectives. Yeah, if I have to pay because Zenan, I benefited a monetary benefit from you. Just if it's Zelo Chaser, how can you really call benefiting from you? You didn't lose anything. It's like benefiting from Hefker. But once you're Chaser, even a little bit, now it's from you. Now I'm obligated to pay everything that I would have paid, the entire rent that I would have paid for such an apartment. But if the real obligation is because of the Zeh Chaser, like the Rif told us, because even though it's Grumma, if you didn't benefit at all, but once you benefit at all, it's considered to be not Grumma. I'm the one who's causing your loss. I'm eating at your expense. And now your loss is not Grumma. Now it's direct. Then perhaps all I have to pay is the amount of the damage that I caused, but not the entire rental value of the apartment. Because you didn't lose that. You weren't looking for a tenant. So look over here. This very issue is discussed by the Mukha Yosef. Look over here, Isaiah. Says in Mukha Yosef, Miko Moko,
if I'm living in an apartment where the guy's not looking to rent it, so I didn't deprive him of rental income, but I did blacken the walls, I have to pay for the blackening of the walls. Not the entire rent that I would have paid elsewhere. The blackening of the walls. Even though I only caused you a minimal damage, Mishalem lo komashano. The minute there's some loss, it's considered to be deriving benefit from you, I have to pay for the entire thing. Okay. So Stipler suggests these two positions depend on the Artisis and the Rif. What's the real cause for the payment here by Zenen of Zechaser? Well, I benefit and you lose. Is it because of my benefit or is it because of your loss? Might be, do I have to pay the amount of my benefit or do I have to pay the amount of your loss? Usually those will go hand in hand because the rent I would have had to pay is the rent you're asking. But what if you're not asking rent, but there is wear and tear? So do I only have to pay the amount of the wear and tear? Do I have to pay the entire rental value? Once there is some loss on your part, I have to pay the entire rental value. Yeah, what do you say?
What's the halacha where you don't benefit and there is a loss?
That's the machlokas Tosfos in the Rif. Tosfos holds, you don't have to pay at all because all I did is cause you a loss, but I didn't. If I blacken your walls, of course you have to pay for the blackening of the walls. But if I just am living in the apartment and therefore no one else comes to see it, that's causative. And the Rif said, yeah, you're causative, but you're eating what he's losing. So even though you weren't going to pay rent, he's losing.
What about if we go by the case where he plants stuff in your field, but you destroy the crops? You're not benefiting from it, but it's still causing the other guy to lose.
You did benefit. You benefit because you had plants there that you later destroyed. That's up to you, but you benefited. You could have harvested them. You have a whole field now. Sell it. You did benefit. If it's a golf course, you didn't benefit because he lowered the value. Golf course is more valuable than, Or if I want a backyard and underneath my swing set he plants cherry tomatoes, you're not doing me a favor. If I have an empty field in Montana and you made it into a cornfield, you did me a great favor. Okay, we're going to have to go on and discuss Zenene. But let's see the Gemara itself. There's a few interesting things in the Gemara before we get to the actual meat. So look over here, the Gemara discusses at the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. Gemara says, the Shaila that we're discussing is the fourth permutation. Zenene v'zelo chaser. Lotriyachas says, the Gemara, two lines from the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, b'chatzulu kaima la'agra, it's a field that's not looking for a tenant. V'gar v'dov v'lemegar, you're looking to rent. My matzi amale my chasarticha. Can the squatter say, what did you lose? Don't be a grumpy guy. Oh, Dilma, Matzi Omar, Hais Hanis. Look, you benefited. You got to pay for what you benefited, even though I wasn't looking for a tenant. You benefited. So if you remember the whole discussion in the Gemara, do you remember the narrative of what was going on? Rav Chizda said to Rami Bar Chama, you weren't with us last night, a whole story, Lahavis Gabam Bewurta, where we had this Shaila, and he told him this is the Shaila we were discussing. So Amalei, he said back to him, he said, I don't know how you were discussing this for so long. Masnisen, hey. It's a Mishnah. Hi, Masnisen. Which Mishnah? He said, I can be poshet your suffix. What's your suffix? Zeinan of Zelo Chaser. He says, I have a Mishnah for you. Amalei lechi teshamishli. He said, I'll tell you, first do me a taiva. Shako Sudre. He said, wrap my head up in a turban. You know, get my hat. Get me a blanket. Take off my shoes. Karachle. Fine, he did it. So Amale. Then he told him, where is the raya? From our Mishnah. If your animal eats the produce of somebody else and there's just a rabbim, even though you're not a mazik, mishalem is mashanenis. You have to pay that which you benefited. Even my animal eats your picnic and there was just a rabbim, I have to pay that which you benefited. You have to pay that which you benefited. So over here, you have to pay that which you benefited. Zenena. Even though it's zelo chaser, you have to pay mashanenis. So he says it's a raya from our Mishnah. What a strange... I mean, we'll have to get to the raya from our Mishnah if that's really a raya. We'll have to discuss the end of Zelo Chaser. Why should you have to pay? Why shouldn't you have to pay? But what happened over here? Guy said, I have a Dvar Torah for you. He said, no, tell me. You have a proof to my Shaila? He said, first do me a taiva. Well, can you imagine a rabbi today? Guy comes, asks the Shaila. I say, well, you know, first wash my car. I'll tell you when you wash my car. What kind of craziness is going on over here? So Shimon Shkrop has a comment on this in his Hakdama to the Shari Yosher. There's a very, very famous part of the Hakdama to the Shari Yosher where Shimon discusses having a big ani, you know, all of Chesed is based on the fact that you have a larger version of yourself, and you know, a few famous things in the Hakdama to the Shari Yosher. Remember by Shimon Shkrop, that's one of them. This is a less famous comment than that, but still very, very important. If Shimon says a Yisoid Gadol in asking Shilas and Eitzes of Rabbanim, he says, I go, let's say Rav Chaim Kanievsky, yeah? You go to ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky something. Shlita. I go and I ask him a shayla. He says two words, yeah? If that, you're lucky. He says two words. Oh my gosh, Rav Chaim. And imagine if he says to you like three sentences, right? The guy's writing it, he's recording it, it goes viral on YouTube. I could have the same conversation with somebody. Mamish, the same words will come out of my mouth, they come out of Rav Chaim Kanievsky's mouth. Is anyone recording it and putting it on YouTube? No. I said the same thing. You could ask me an Eitzah. I'll say the same Eitzah that Rav Chaim said. Rav Chaim said. What's the difference? So obviously, who's saying it? So the person's, the ability of, and if I say it, you might listen, you might not listen, Rav Chaim says it. Gosh, you're going to think it's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam himself told you. Tabasco. So what's the difference? The difference is the amount of importance that I attribute to the individual who's telling it to me. So let's say I attribute no significance to you. A guy will ask me a shayla, and I attribute no significance to this guy. I ask him a shayla and I walk. I'm not going to listen to his answer. I'm not going to give you a great significance to your answer because I don't believe in you as a Torah authority. The more I believe in this person as a Torah authority, the more what he says will have greater significance. So a lot of it has to do with the amount of importance we attribute to him. So therefore, what happened over here? Rabbi Chaim said, I have a proof to you. The guy said, no, tell me. Yeah, but the guy was saying, no, tell me so I can shoot it down. He said, no, you respect me as a person, then I'll tell you. Why? Because then you'll listen. You don't respect me as a person, I'm not going to tell you, because it will have no roshim on you. I could tell you, but it won't mean anything to you, because you won't have accepted it from a person who's of greater significance than yourself. So he says, first do me a taiva. Show me that you treat me as the Rebbe. Show me that you believe that I know more than you, and I'm deserving of honor. Then I'll tell you because then, not because I want to derive some sort of fringe benefit here from the Rabbonis, but because then my words will have meaning and significance to you. Otherwise, it won't mean anything to you. It'll be like schmoozing with your friend. It's a raya. That's a raya. Rav Chaim Kanievsky tells you a raya. That's a raya. Right? Oh, that's a raya. That itself. So you have to attribute significance. That's what Shimon Shkopsi said. I think that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Mesechtas Ovis, first Mishnah, Mesechtas Ovis. What does the Mishnah say? The Anshei Knesset HaGdola said three things. What was it? Having Mesunim Bedin, Asei Siyag L'Taira, and anybody know the third? Anybody? The first Mishnah in Ovis. Second Mishnah, third Mishnah. Right at the beginning. Remember Mishloish Edvarim, Asei Siyag L'Taira, Mesunim Bedin, and Ha'emidu Talmidim Harbe. Stand up many Talmidim. What does that mean? Stand up, erect many Talmidim. What does that mean? Why do they have to?
So the Medrash Shmuel, standard commentary Masechtas Avos, explains that it's referring to Gemara Masechtas Megillah. The Gemara says Masechtas Megillah until the days of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the Talmidim used to stand while the Rebbe sat. So that's what it means. Hamidu, Talmidim Harbe. In those days, the Talmidim stood. There were no chairs. As we know, that was a chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He introduced benches into the Beis Medrash. Before him, there were no benches. Everybody stood. So that's why the Mishnah says, Hamidu, Talmidim Harbe, because they were standing. Yeah, but why is that important that they were standing? I think it's important that they were standing because only when the Talmud is willing to stand while the Rebbe is sitting, does that mean he attributes significance to what he's being told? Then he'll be a good Talmud. Because he respects who's telling him that. If you don't respect the person who's telling you something, so then you're not going to believe it, you're not going to take it seriously, it will have no impact on you. And we see it's true. So therefore the Mishnah mentions, you want to create many Talmidim, they have to be Talmidim who are willing to stand, meaning they're Talmidim who respect you. Otherwise, your words will have no impact and impression upon them. However, that has to be counterbalanced. Soloveitchik said, different shot than the Mishnah. Fantastic, beautiful shot. Soloveitchik said, it's quoted in one of the Beis Yitzchaks. Once in a while, there's something valuable in the Beis Yitzchak. So he says, the Soloveitchik said a different pshat. He said, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, make Talmidim who can stand on their own. Oftentimes, people make Talmidim, they love it, they come back. They come back and ask Shailas. Oh, next time you have a Shaila, one Rebbe told me, I don't like this at all. Tell me when someone asks him a shaila, so typically people ask new and in general, meaning here it's a specific case. He says, and in general, what's that look? I said, I never answer the in generals. Come back and ask me the next time. He says, what do you want? Why don't you educate a person? He says, I don't have to come back and ask you the next time. Wouldn't that be more useful? Educate the person so that they know later on what's that look and how to apply it, and therefore maybe they might misapply it. That's true. That's true. But why not educate them to the degree where hopefully they won't misapply it, and educate people to be self-sufficient? That seems to me to be a much better approach. So if Soloveitchik said that's the pshat in the Mishnah. So really two opposite extremes. One, that they should respect you and appreciate that what you're saying, otherwise they'll have no impact. That's the pshat in the Gemara. But also, if Soloveitchik said no, create Talmidim who can stand on their own, who are self-sufficient. We shouldn't create people who are exactly like us, who always need to come back to us for guidance. And we should give people enough to be self-sufficient on their own, could be their own individual. Okay, Chevron, miss him tomorrow, we'll go on. There's another little interesting point here. That's the Mar Mekaymus that I sent out today. How could he use him? Over here he was a Kohen. How could he use a Kohen to service you, Bechlau? That seems to be a violation of Kedushas Kahuna. So we have to also warn.